Lord, thank you for loving us. And thank you that you are so good. Help us to love you, trust you, look to you, depend on you. Thank you for it, Lord. We've been blessed. Just a little touch of heaven, perhaps. Just to be in your presence and know your peace and your voice and your joy. We rejoice and we love you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. What does God want for me? One more passage. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we'll be this morning. While you're turning, I do have to take a moment and just tell you thanks so much for letting me be a part of your life. Thank you, Brother Harold, for inviting me. I sure love you, and I praise the Lord for you. And all the work that's gone into this, goodness, what a great blessing. Thanks for all the music. I love music, don't you? And I just have enjoyed the singing. What a delightful blessing to sing with you. And I'm glad my boys could be here with me, Matt and Jake. And I'm a blessed man. I got great kids and a great family. And I'm just so thankful for it. I'm leaving this afternoon to head down to Alabama. And I've preached in a lot of foreign countries, the Philippines and Haiti and Alabama. And so I'm heading back to Alabama. I got a revival starting in the morning. It's a great church. I go every year. It's the only church I go to every year. We do this meeting every year and have for years. It's almost like going home. And tomorrow's a special day. That church, man, they reach people. They're going after it. We'll have great services. Tomorrow night, they're having a baptism service for all the kids that come on the buses. They'll have 80 teenagers on Wednesday night coming on the buses. And a lot of parents are going to be there tomorrow night. I'm going to preach the gospel. They're going to have people saved tomorrow night. It's going to be a great service. And this whole week ahead, and you're going home. I've prayed already today that God give you safety on the way home. And I've prayed that your ride home would be as Spirit-led and Spirit-filled as our time has been here in this auditorium. Sing on the way home. Talk about the Lord on the way home. Have fun. Enjoy, though. The Bible says the Lord gives us richly all things to enjoy. And the Bible says serve the Lord with gladness. Now, the Bible tells us that the Lord laughs. Did you know that He sits in the heaven and He laughs, Psalm 2 says. He rejoices over us with singing. He loves us. He's happy. He's a happy God. And He's on your side. He cares about you. What a joy. What a joy to serve Him. Thank you, by the way, for the offering as well. I know they took an offering, and I just want to say thank you guys for your giving. You're a great group of young people. And you know what I just love about doing this? I'm 47, and that means in 10 years, you know, I'll be 57. And in 20 years, I'll be 67. And if the Lord lets me live another 20 years, I'll be 67. And I don't know all that the future holds, but wouldn't it be great if 20 years from now I'm 67 and I go somewhere to preach in a church in Virginia, in New Jersey, in West Virginia, in Maryland, and I go in this church to preach, and somebody walks up to me and they were like, hey, Brother Young, do you remember me? People do that to me all the time. Do you remember me? And I'll go, you know, maybe I'll fake it and go, well, brother, you look familiar. Or something like that, and here's this. Here is this 37-year-old person, and they got a wife. Here's a beautiful little wife, and they got nine little kids lined up right there. Nine little kids, and they say, Brother Dave, I heard you preach at Student Prayer Advance in the summer of 2017. I'm 17. Now I'm 37. Got a wife and nine kids. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Say, what you doing with your life? Man, I'm serving the Lord. It's my Christian wife. We got a Christian family. And maybe I'll meet somebody right from this auditorium. And I'll be 67. You'll be 36. You're 16 right now. And you'll say, you know, Brother Young, I'm a multimillionaire. And the Lord put it in my heart to give you a million. Man. For the gospel, of course. For the gospel. And I say, I don't know what the future holds. But you know what? I've been at this long enough now. This is almost my 25th year of preaching in revivals. And I meet people all the time who are now in their 30s. And I met them when they were 13. I know a dentist. I met him when he was 9. Now he's a dentist. He's got a wife and kids, serving the Lord. It's going to be you. And wouldn't it be terrible if I came to Virginia to a church, or West Virginia, or Maryland, New Jersey, wherever you're from, and I'm 67, and you're 37, and I say to the pastor, who's that on the back row back there? Look a little rough. look like life's been hard on them. And I met you after the service, and you say, I've heard you preach before. Student Prayer Advance, 2017. And you know, Dave, I haven't lived for the Lord, and it's been rough. My wife's left me, addicted to pornography. See, here one of us are making choices. It's going to matter. It's going to matter today. It'll matter next year at this time. Someday you'll be 27, 26, 25, 24, 28, 29. Someday you'll be 47. What you're doing right now, these decisions you're making right now, they'll pay off. You do what's right. Keep praying. Keep reading the Bible. Keep growing in the Lord. It's going to pay off. Someday you're going to be old. You'll be old with joy and peace and happy and a great marriage. Some of you have a great marriage. You'll be so madly in love. You'll be flirt texting. Hey, baby, da, coming home from work. Put your helmet on. I'm going to kiss your brains out. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Some of your kids are like, did he just say that? Yes, he did. The future's bright if you'll serve Jesus. Somebody in this room is going to wind up in Africa. And I'll never meet you. But 50, 60 years from now, we'll be walking on streets of gold and talking to Jesus. And you'll say, you know, I spent my life in Africa. And we'll get to talk and find out. We met at the Student Prayer Advance in the summer of 2017. And you gave your life to Jesus. And you'll say, look over here. Here's one of my church members. They're from Africa. They got saved in Africa. And over here, somebody from Moldova, they got saved in Europe. Or somebody over in Asia. Because of you. You're that important. And your future's that bright if you'll serve Jesus. Your future's that bright. God's on your side. He loves you. He cares about you. One more message. What does God want from me? Have you ever read these verses? I'm in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's finish and call this to an end. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, all right, he's ending. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now I'm going to stop right there for sake of time. Preach one more message. What does God want from me? You know this, don't you? We know that God wants you to be saved. Now, let's not take that for granted. Let's stop again, and let's just talk for a moment. You young people right here, do you know for sure? Is this a settled deal that you've trusted Jesus to be your Savior, that you've been born again the Bible way? Not your works, not your religion, not your baptism. But has there been a definite time in your life that you recognized, I'm a sinner? I can't save myself. I need Jesus Christ to save me. I need to be born again. I want Christ. He died for my sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. Have you young people right here trusted Christ to save you? Is that a certainty? God wants you to be saved. How about it right here? Do you know for sure? All of you young people right here, do you know, is it settled in your heart that Jesus Christ has washed away your sins, that he saved you, that he's rescued you from sin and hell? Is that a certainty? Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. Because he died for your sins, you can be forgiven. All of your sins can be forgiven. All of them. You can be a child of God. You can be on your way to heaven. Is that a certainty in your heart? God wants you to be saved. That's the message of Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. How about you young people right here? Is it settled in your heart? You kids on the back row back there, you girls and guys on the back. Do you know? You up here, do you know? Is it settled? God wants you to be saved. Now look, don't you leave Appalachian Bible College property and Student Prayer Advance. Don't you walk out of here without Christ in your heart. Make sure you know him. Make sure you've been born again. Make sure you're on your way to heaven. Make sure that your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life. God wants you to be saved. Isn't that good? He loves you. He cares about you. And then here's the second thing we've learned in this passage. God wants you to have victory. You. I just kind of jumped out at me as I was reading right there. Did you see that? I love this. He says in verse 16. Did you see that in verse 16? Did you see that? He says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all. Say the word all. Say it louder. No, louder than that. All. He says, all. You can have victory. You take the shield of faith. And you know what? Doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. You can have victory over the fiery darts of the enemy. Isn't that shouting ground? My goodness. That make you want to get a hanky and wave it around, wouldn't it? Wow. You can have victory. You can have victory. He says that right here in the passage. But there's another lesson we learned last night. And you remember this? God wants you to have purity. Hey, I'm serious about this. Tell you a little thing here before I move on. Maybe I said something last night in the service. You didn't know what I meant. Maybe I said something and you thought, I don't know that word. I want to tell you something. Don't you go look it up on the internet. Don't do it. It's okay not to know. The internet has more misinformation than it has information. We call this sometimes, this is the information age. No, it's not. I'm convinced it's not. This isn't the information age. This is the misinformation age. There's more misinformation out there. And you say, well, I want to know. I don't know and I want to know. I don't know and I want to know. Well, you need to find out. Here's the best way to find out. Come ask me. Go ask your daddy. Go home and ask your mom. Say, I can't talk to my parents about that. Go ask your pastor. Say, I can't talk to him. Text your pastor. Text him. Say, Brother Young said, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? And you staff that are in here, you adults, just answer it. There's power in information. If it's truth, there's power in it. Tell them the truth. Tell your kids the truth. Just answer the question truthfully and honestly. Let's get it. Don't go to the internet to find your answers. You'll get a lie. You'll get the wrong information. So God wants you to have victory. God wants you to have purity. I got one more for you. And this is our final one together. God wants you to have power. Did you know that? You. How many ever heard somebody talk about the power of God? How many ever heard that? You ever heard that? The power of God. And how many of y'all think that's kind of a cool thing to say, but you have no idea what it's talking about? The power of God. Well, we believe in it, but what in the world does it mean? God is telling us in Ephesians 6 that God wants us to have power. That's the whole point of this book. He wants you to have power. Go back to chapter 3, would you? I'm going to be done. I'm going to preach long. But look at chapter 3. I love chapter 3 here. This is a great chapter. In chapter 3, look at verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20. Well, you got to get several verses there. This is a Paul. Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. Look at verse 16. Paul prays that God would grant them according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. What's going on in your heart right now? What's been going on in your mind, in your heart, inside? God wants to give you victory over that. Strengthened with power through his spirit. He wants you to be full of the spirit. Look in verse 17. He wants you to be full of Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Isn't that incredible? He wants you to be full of love. Look at verse 17. Being rooted and grounded in love, that you'll be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And at the end of verse 19, he wants you to be filled with the fullness of God. You know what he prays for the church at Ephesus? That they will be full of the Spirit, full of Jesus, full of love, and full of God. You can go home like that. That's power. And here's what he says in verse 20, one of my favorite verses. Is verse 20. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is what he's telling. He wants you to have power in your life. Teens, God doesn't want you to go home and go back to normal. He wants you to go home filled with the Spirit and filled with Christ and full of love and full of God. He wants you to be full of power in your life, spiritual power, where you can have victory, you can have purity, you can be a soul winner, you can serve God, you can succeed this year in your school, you can take a stand for Christ. God can use you. What you need is power. And God's telling us in the book of Ephesians, you can have it. He wants you to have it. You can have power in your life. And look at this screen right here. Three things I learned. He wants us to have power to work. Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God saved you so you'd live for Him, have good works in your life. That takes power from God to work and be what God wants me to be. He talks a lot about walking in this chapter, this book. He says God saved us to walk in good works. He says I'm to walk in love. I'm not to walk like the other Gentiles walk, but I'm to walk a new life. I'm to walk in love. I'm to walk circumspectly. There's a ton in here about walking. God wants you to work. That's good works. He wants you to walk the Christian life. Go home and be a Christian. Go home and serve the Lord. Say, God, I can't do it. You can't. You cannot. Jesus said in John 15, without me ye can do nothing. You can't. But He'll give you His power. Which is why He says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Your Bible wants you to know that God wants you to have power. Power to work. Power to walk. You know what chapter 6 is trying to say? God wants you to have power to win. You can win. Don't you like to win? How many of y'all like to win? You like to win? How many of y'all like to win ping pong? I saw you over there playing. How many of you lost ping pong? Let me see your hand. How many of you won ping pong? Don't you love it? I love to win, don't you? What's your least favorite game? Rubik's Cube? You ever played a Rubik's Cube? Aren't those the dumbest games in the world? I actually went online, downloaded the instructions, and learned how to solve it. I did. Learned how to solve it. How many of y'all can solve a Rubik's Cube? I like to win. It's tough. I mean, The first I downloaded had been translated from Chinese into English. You know, it's like take the corner right here and turn it left and take your right arm and turn it right and turn it and turn it. I was tied up like a pretzel like the first three steps. I had no idea. But I finally figured it out. I like to win. I want to win. I was in college, and I had this friend who said to me, are you going to the soccer game tonight? I said, sure. And my friend said, cool. She said, I'm bringing somebody to meet you, a girl. I said, who is it? She said, I'm not telling you, it's a surprise. I said, I'm not coming. Oh, come on, she said, you can trust me, I'm bringing a girl to meet you. And I said, I'm not coming, who is it? I want to know who it is before I agree to this. She said, I'm not telling you. I said, well, I'm not coming. I had prayed that God would let me marry a pretty girl, so I wasn't taking any chances. She said, I'm not telling you. I said, I'm not coming. So finally she said, all right, fine. And she told me her name. I didn't know who it was. Brother, I had no idea. But I had a yearbook. How many of y'all have a yearbook from school? So I went to the back and looked it up. Da-da-da-da-da, found the name, looked up the picture. Woo, I went to the soccer game. I did. And I met this girl that night. Oh, my soul. She was so, her blue eyes. Oh, I'm just telling you right now. Those eyes, wow. I could dive in those eyes and swim around forever, baby. That's a good line. Write that down. Tweet that, brother. That's a good line. That's those eyes. And I didn't know this girl, but man, that night, I remember looking at her thinking, man, she is absolutely beautiful. You know what she did? She looked at me and she thought, what a man. That's not funny, Brother Joel. That's the truth. You know what? I wanted to win. I met this girl. I wanted to win her. I wanted to win. That's the girl I want to marry. That's the girl I want to marry. And I did. Married, I won. We play games in our home sometimes. We wrestle. And I want to win. I fight dirty. So I want to win. I'll take a baseball bat to you. Because I want to win. I'm serious. I want to win. God, it's blind. God wants you to win. I'm not talking about Quelf or Rubik's Cube or Dutch Blitz or Tekken. What is Tekken anyway? That's a video game you play, right? I knew that was a word. At least I thought, was that the right word? Y'all are impressed, aren't you, that I know Tekken, huh? For a man my age, I've never played it. My record's clean. I've never lost. See, God wants you to win. Not in some silly game, but in life. In spiritual life, God wants you to go home and win. Takes power. Look at this passage, and I'll teach you three or four things, and our time is gone. Go home now. Go home with power in your life, power to win. And here's the first thing I want to tell you. You got to go home, be prepared to fight. You got to go home, be prepared to fight. Isn't that what he's trying to say right here in chapter 6? You got to go be prepared to fight. Look at this. He says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. Now, why do I need to put on an armor? Because there's a battle. Why do I need armor? Because there's a war. There's a fight going on. I got to go home and be prepared to fight. He says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to know, young people, if you think it's going to be easy, if you think it's just going to just happen just because you want it to, I'm telling you, that is not going to happen. There is a war going on. There is an enemy that hates you. There's a fight taking place. There's a battleground. And God wants you to have His power so you can defeat the enemy. That's what He's trying to say here. You don't have to be smart enough, strong enough, save long enough, wise enough, and have all the answers. But if you'll have the power of God in your life and you'll go home and you'll fight the good fight, I'm telling you, you can go home and win. I don't know a lot about fighting. I've only been in one real fight in my whole life. I mean, I'm talking about a real fight. I was in junior high, had 3 hairs on my chest. I knew I was a man. And I don't even really know. Something happened and a friend of mine and I got in it, and his cousin told everybody that he's going to beat me up. And my sister, who's 3 years older than I, she told everybody, no, Dave's going to whip him. And I'm in junior high. I don't know how to fight. I mean, I've wrestled my brother. And you know, I don't know how to fight. I've never done that. I'm not an MMA kind of guy. I don't know how to do all this. But we were out in the parking lot, and the crowd showed up and surrounded us. He's looking at me, and I'm looking at, we're junior highers. And he said to me, I'll never forget, his name is Dwayne, and he's actually my neighbor, my cousin. And Dwayne said, you're not man enough to hit me. I had 3 hairs on my chest. You're not man enough to hit me. So I did the only thing a self-respecting, decent man can do, guys, right? I hit him. You're not man enough. Yes, I am. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I know how to make a fist. And I remember my dad said to me one time, he said, no, you pull back, and you throw your body into it as you cross your hand. You bring your fist forward and you throw your body into it and you bring your arms straight out like that and you just give it all you got. Somebody, throw your body into it. So I hear all this stuff's in my mind. And there's Dwayne. You're not man enough to hit me. Yes, I am. And I went, boom! And it gave him a black eye. That's pretty cool. I was kind of proud of that. And don't applaud that. And he did the strangest thing. You know what he did? He hit me back. And then I found out that fighting's fairly normal. You hit him, he hits you. You hit him, he hits you. You hit him, he hits you. The crowd cheers. My sister, she was on the side going, kill him, kill him. She was talking to Dwayne. And we were having quite a fight. I mean, we were going at it. And then I heard somebody say, this is the truth. I'm not making this up. I was in junior high. This really happened. Somebody said, the principal's coming. And this is no joke. Dwayne and I shook hands. Fight was over. We were friends again. He lives across the street from my mom and dad, and where they live in Tennessee. And I was there for Christmas several years ago. My brother's next door to my mom and dad, and I was in his driveway. And Dwayne came out the door, saw me over there. He came down across the street, came down the driveway. He said, well, Dave Young. And we talked a few moments, and he said, do you remember that fight we had when we were in junior high school? And I said, the one where I whip the daylights out of you. Some of you, he didn't quite remember it that way. See, that's all I know about fighting. I don't know a lot about fighting, but I do know this, young people. You have an enemy, and he doesn't want you to win. He says in this passage things like this, the wiles of the devil, the schemes. See, when you and I get on the internet and we're careless and we start looking at something we shouldn't look at, the devil's fighting. And I'm just thinking like this. Well, I'll just take a little glimpse, just a little thing. But the devil's thinking next year. He's thinking when you're 37. There's a battle going on. And there's not one of you in this room smart enough, strong enough, wise enough, big enough to defeat the devil on your own. But the Bible says right here, God wants you to have His power in your life. Be strong in His might. Put on His armor because God wants you to win. You got to go home prepared to fight. You got to go home and be prepared to fight. What do you got to do to go home and fight? Somebody said to me last night, I need to talk to my mom and dad maybe about getting rid of my smartphone. fight. You might have to go home and say to a friend, point blank, eyeball to eyeball, you know what? You and I can't be friends anymore. That's quite a battle. Go home and fight. You might have to go to school this fall and maybe go to public school and do what I did when I got saved. I saved. I got into public school as a newly saved guy. Bought me a Bible about like this. Started carrying it to school like this. All my classes, this book, it's a black Bible like this, sat on my desk. Carried my Bible to school because I was in a war. I was in a battle. There's a fight going on. Go home. Be prepared to fight. Don't be ashamed of that. Say, God, you already know what's going to be like when you go home, don't you? The TV's going to be on, and I got my computer there in my room, and I got my friends, and school's starting in a few weeks, and I'm going to be on the football team or the soccer team or the volleyball team, and I know what they joke about when I'm there, and I just don't know that I can do it. I mean, I don't want to be an idiot. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to think I'm weird. You got to go home and fight. You got to go home and say, I'm not there. Micah Self, who travels on my team, I've mentioned him a couple of times. He's been here with me. Brother Micah, he played soccer. He was a wrestler in the public schools of Colorado as a teenager. He's the only Christian on his team. They went one time to California to a tournament, and he was staying in a room of four guys, and they put a movie on one night that had all kinds of filth in it. And they ridiculed Micah, and they made fun of him. But for 2 hours, he sat in the lobby by himself because he was fighting. I'm not watching that garbage. Not watching it. You're going to go to somebody's house. They're going to put on a movie that's risque, that's wicked, that's full of garbage. Get that cell phone out and call mom. So you got to come pick me up. Fight. You got to go be prepared to fight. You're not going to win if you're not going to go home and fight. Now, it's not your strength. Not your. It's his. The power of the Spirit. That's what he says in verse 10 of our text, isn't it? Be strong in the power of his might. Not your strength, not your ability, his. Be prepared to fight. I got to close. Be prepared to fight. Let me give you another one. Be prepared to fight. Here's the next one. Be prepared to stand. Look at this. Be prepared to stand. Isn't that funny how he says it in this passage? Put on, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a battle going on. Verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. There's a negative. I got to withstand. And then having done all, I'm going to stand. And in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Be prepared to fight. Listen to me, teenagers. Be prepared to stand. Go home and take a stand. I'm going to give you two pieces of advice under this idea of standing. Number one, go home with some I will nots in your life. I will not. And go home with some I wills in your life. One of my favorite illustrations, that is Daniel. Here's what Daniel says in Daniel 1, verse 8. The Bible says this about Daniel. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not. Did you get that phrase? Daniel purposed in his heart that I will not. I will not. Daniel purposed in his heart, I will not. Would you say those three words with me? Daniel purposed in his heart that I will not. Louder. I will not. One more time. I will not. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have any I will nots? If I had you stand right now, could you say to me, Dave, I have some I will nots in my life? Daniel did. He's about your age. He's a slave in a strange land, captive in Babylon, in a heathen land, heathen king, heathen religion. But Daniel said, I will not. Do you have any? Anybody here? Anybody here? Your friends know that you are the, I will not give up my purity. I will not mess around with alcohol. Because wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is just not wise. What the Bible's trying to say right there in nice terms is, it's a foolish thing to mess around with alcohol. I will not. I will not. I will not allow myself to get on the internet and mess around and look stuff up and get addicted to pornography. I will not. When I was in high school, public high school, a long time ago, I had an I will not. I'm not going to prom. I'm not going to prom. I'm a Christian now. Listen, I will not. I will not go to the prom. My junior year, my senior year, I'm not going. I was class president. I was responsible my junior year to plan the prom. I met with the junior leader of the junior class and said to her, I can't do it. She said, why not? I said, because I'm a Christian. Oh, she said, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. I said, it is to me. Because there's always some drinking at the prom. The way the girls dress at the prom, they look like they work in one of these gentlemen's clubs that they advertise up and down the interstates of our land. I'm not going to that. The music they play at the prom now, I don't listen to anymore because now I'm saved. I don't listen to that anymore. I don't dance the way they dance. I don't do that. I'm not. That's not me. I will not. I was the only one that didn't go. My public high school, I was the only one that didn't go to the prom. I'm also one of the few that's still married. Amen. I'm not addicted to tobacco like most of my friends are. I'm not addicted to alcohol like a lot of my friends are. I've never been to jail. Some of my friends have. I will not. Do you have any? I will not have a friend that's always joking about sexual and immodesty and garbage. I won't. I won't hang around a person. I will not. Daniel stood by starting with an I will not. I will not. You got to have some I will nots. And secondly, you need some I wills. I will. I will. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I will. I'm going to pray. I will. I'm going to be faithful to church. I will. I'm going to go to church, and if the music's amazing, I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm just going to worship the Lord. I'm going to sing with all of my heart. You don't have to raise your hands. You could just sing with all of your heart. There's a big difference in there in somebody who sings, Amazing grace, how sweet. And somebody who sings, Amazing grace. I don't sing that well. Sing anyway. Who cares? Sing. The Lord loves it. He does. I will. In the book of Daniel, Daniel had three friends. You remember their names? Tell me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Aren't those the great names? Shadrach. I've never thought about naming my kid that. Hey, Shadrach. That's a great name, isn't it? Meshach. Come here, Meshach. And Abednego. I don't know what I'd call my kids if they were named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Half the time I can't call my kids. Are your parents that way? I never call my kids by their right name. I call my daughter the dog's name. Charity. And I get so confused. I don't know how their parents remember. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you remember one day, the king made a rule. He built this idol. And he said, I'm going to play some music and I want you to bow down to my idol. If you don't, I'll throw you in the furnace and burn you alive. And so, here they are, the crowd. There's the idol, probably maybe as tall as the back of this stage, big old idol. Music starts playing, and everybody falls on their face, except for three guys. I don't know how they stood. I don't know. What do you do in a case like that? Everybody else around you is falling on their face, and if you don't do it, you're going to be thrown into the furnace. How do you stand? How do you stand there? Like, I mean, did they do this? Did they do this? Did they go? And I don't know what they did, but they just stood there. I mean, did they talk to each other? Did they link arms? I don't know. Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail, but they didn't bow. And the king is furious. Who do you think you are not bound to my idol? I'm going to give you one more chance. You don't bow down. I will heat the furnace hotter than it's ever been, and I will burn you alive. Do you understand? Bow! Dun, 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 dun. I don't know what they did, but they stood. And the king says, bring those guys to me. Heat that thing up. He says, guys, I'm going to burn you alive. Because I'm the king, and I told you to bow, and you didn't do it. They said, we can bow because we serve the Lord. We don't serve idols. They had some I wills in their life, didn't they? And here's what they said to the king. And this is just so amazing to me. They said, we want you to know something, king. I just want you to know something. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of your hand, and he will. That's great. Isn't that great? It's like, oh yeah. How many boys find that in your heart and you're like, yes. I mean, isn't that kind of a guy thing? Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of your hand, and he will. And I'm like, yes! Go, boys, go! I love those guys. But the next phrase throws me off guard. Because here's what he said. But if he doesn't? What do you mean? What? If he doesn't, just so you know, we're not bowing. What in the world? Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of your hands, and we believe he will. But if he doesn't, that's our God. We are not bowing. And you're worried about going home and making a decision about rock music. You're worried about whether or not you're going to look at garbage on the computer. These guys were going to die. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be burned. Are you all that way? You ever burned yourself on the oven? On a stove? We used to play pranks on people when we were in college. And when you're in college in a dorm room, you know, everybody's just guys in the dorm room. And so a guy may get out of the shower and he have a towel wrapped around him. You know, his body's all warm because he's just got out of the shower. And we'd take an iron, stick it in ice so that it's cold iron. And, you know, you're pretending to iron. It's cold. It's not even on. The guy steps out of the shower and you go, whoop, stick it to him. His warm body from the shower, the cold of the iron, he thinks he's getting burned. It's one of the most entertaining things I've ever done in my life. Guys will jump straight up and down like a girl screaming. And all I did was just stick a cold iron to his chest. That was a terrible thing to do, but it was fun. And you're welcome for that one. You're welcome. I don't like burning. I don't want to be burned. They threw those boys in the fire. And the king all of a sudden stands up and he says, what are they doing? They're walking around in the fire like it's nothing. Just walking around talking. And Jesus was in there with them. Jesus is in there with them. I want to tell you something. You take a stand for the Lord and do what's right, and Jesus will be there with you too. Amen. He will. Amen. I will not. What would be some I will nots if you could choose two? I will not. You were going to stand and choose two I will nots. What would you need to choose? If you were going to choose two I wills, God, I need help. I need your power so that I can fight when I go home the battle that needs to be fought. I need your power to help me to stand. What would you choose? I got two more here. Let's close. Be prepared to fight. Be prepared to stand. Be prepared to read. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Be prepared to read. To read. Because that's what he said. Now I'm skipping a ton for sake of time. But look all the way down, would you please, in Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 16. The Bible says, above all. Now, above everything else you do, you're fighting, you're standing, you're putting on all this armor. Above all else, take the helmet of salvation. I'm sorry. Above all else, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Read it out loud. The Word of God. Okay, let me see your Word of God. Let me see your Word of God. You got an iPad or let me see your copy of the Word of God. Wave it around. Your copy of the Word of God. Like this. Wave it around. Your copy of the Word of God. All right, here's what the Bible says. Above all else, take the shield of faith, take the sword of the Spirit, take the Word of God. So I'm going to say to you, be prepared to read. I love Psalm 119. Psalm 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to get your life clean? You want to get victory over the struggle you're in? You're going to have the Word of God in your life. You ought to read it every day. You ought to read it every day. And I don't know that you ought to be legalistic about it. Some people say, well, I'm going to read 10 chapters every day, and they can't do it, and they fail, and they give up, and they quit. It's more important that you read something that changes your life than that you get religious about it and read 10 chapters a day. If you read 10 verses that change your life, read 10 verses, let it change your life. The Bible doesn't say read an hour a day. What the Bible says is I need to take heed to the Word of God so that the Word of God will clean up my life. And then he says this, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. And he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You need this book if you're going to go home and you're going to win. You've got to have God's power in your life so you can fight. There's a battle when you go home. The devil does not want you to win. He does not want you to succeed. And he's going to fight you with everything he's got. But you have the power of God available to you. Be strong in the power of his might and his strength. You can go home and stand. God can help you to do it. Be prepared to read. That's the power of the Word of God. This is no ordinary book. This is God's Word. It'll change your life. Read it. Memorize on it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Chew it over. Put verses on your bed. Put verses on your screen. Put verses on the back of your hand. We do that sometimes. I do that sometimes. I learned it from my evangelist friend, Mike himself. He'll put a verse right here. When he's driving down the road, sees the Word of God. You just write it with a pen, just a verse right there. Typing on the computer, sees the Word of God. Make the Word of God a part of your life. Be prepared to read. Be prepared to read. I'm trying to memorize Psalm 119. It's only 176 verses. You'd think that'd be easy to do. But I'm struggling, Brother Harold. I've been trying so hard to memorize Psalm 119. And I must be dumb as a coal bucket. Because I just can't get it. I've been trying so hard. I read it. I read somewhere, if you read a passage 80 times, you'll have it. Well, that's a lie. Because I tried and I still ain't got it. I still don't have it. But I'm still trying. Man, I've learned so much. I got this Bible somewhere along the way. I picked it up years ago and never used it. And I pulled it out recently and became my devotional Bible. It's got a page between every page, a blank page between every page. Look what I did in Psalm 119. I went back here to Psalm 119. My Bible just falls open to Psalm 119. Because there it is. See, boom, right there. And I went through Psalm 119 and I made prayers. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. So over here I wrote, Lord, help my way to be undefiled. Help my walk to be according to Your word. Help my whole heart to seek You. That second passage, look here. Look all these prayers I've gotten in my notes. Just from reading Psalm 119. Right here is the second section. Lord, help me to take heed to Your word. To seek You with my whole heart. Help me to hide Your word in my heart. That next section, I pray for Your bounty. I pray for Your beauty. I pray about my brokenness. I pray for Your blessing. I haven't done real well memorizing it. But I've prayed these verses. They've changed my life. This past year, I've lived in Psalm 119. I've learned so much from the Spirit. The Word of God just worked in my heart. God, I want Your blessing. I'm going to live Your Word. I want Your blessing. I read in the Bible, I'm a companion of all them that fear Thee and trust. I read that and I thought, you know what? You love Jesus. You trust the Lord. I'm going to be Your friend. I want to be around people, Lord. You put people in my life that love You and trust You and I'll be their friend. I read that in Psalm 119. Go home. Be prepared to fight. Be prepared to stand. Be prepared to read. There's one more. Be prepared to fight. Be prepared to stand. Be prepared to read. And the next one is be prepared to pray. Did you see that in verse 18 of chapter 6? I got to turn back over there. I'm in Psalm 119. Turn back over to Ephesians 6 and we're done. And I'll look at it one more time. How do I go home and win? How do I go home and work? How can I go home and walk? How can I go home and live what we talked about this weekend? Verse 18 says, here's how you do it. Praying always. Say the word always. So I'm tempted. I'm on the internet and I'm on my computer and I'm typing along and all of a sudden there's a temptation. Something on the side of my Snapchat or on my Facebook wall. And boy, I click on that. I know, oh my goodness, there's something there. And I'm all of a sudden I'm tempted. It's my Instagram. Someone recently in a blog report said that Instagram could also be called Instaporn. 1/3 of the images on Instagram are considered pornographic by the world. Not by me. Now I'm on the internet. Just enjoying technology and I'm tempted. That's what the Bible says. Praying always. Lord, I need Your purity. Slam that computer lid shut in the power of God. I was sitting at a traffic light in Las Vegas, Nevada. I wasn't gambling. I was preaching. Going to a prayer meeting. I was going to a prayer. Had my Bible. I was going to speak at the prayer meeting. And then we're going to have a prayer meeting. I was driving to the prayer meeting, stopped at a traffic light on Las Vegas Boulevard. That's where all the casinos are. There's a billboard as big as this curtain and probably twice as tall. Huge. I'm sitting in a traffic light waiting for the light to turn green. And that billboard, all of a sudden, it was an LED, LCD, or whatever they call that. And all of a sudden, it switched pictures to a whole group of girls with almost nothing on. I wasn't on the internet. I'm going to a prayer meeting. And there it is, in the front seat of the truck. Prayed. Lord, Your purity. Help. I don't want to look at that. I want to be right away. Help, 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 Lord, help. And just that fast, young people, in the front seat of a truck in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Spirit of God came into that truck, filled me with purity. The Spirit of God prompted me to reach out and pull down the sin visor. You ever had your truck have a sin visor, your car? Pulled it right down. Couldn't see the traffic light. Couldn't see the billboard. I don't know if it's going to turn green or not. But I figured the guy beside me would. You go, buddy, I'm going. Can't see the light, can't see the billboard. But I'm pure. Not because I'm Evangelist Dave Young. Not because I have an honorary doctorate degree of awesomeness. Not because I have a beautiful wife. No. Because I have the power of the Spirit in my life. Be prepared to pray. Go home and do a lot of this, okay? Go home and do a lot of this. When your pastor Sunday morning says, all right, now let's have prayer. Here's what we normally do. Okay. Go home and pray. Your pastor says, let's pray. Do like this. Go. Lord, please work in this service. God, do something so amazing in this Sunday morning service that people just stand here with their mouth open. Just raise your hands and pray. You say, what if somebody sees me? Well, they're not if they're right with God. If they're right with God, they'll have their heads bowed and eyes closed, right? So pray. Do this. Someone, pastor says, all right, let's pray. Do this. Go. Okay. Lord, pray out loud. Shock everybody in your church. Lord, I know there's probably somebody that needs to be saved. He said, let's pray, didn't he? Let's do it. Lord, pray loud. I mean, just shock your whole church. Just do it. Lord, pray and mean it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray. Young people, you go home and pray. Some of you are going to go to a Christian school here in a few weeks, and you're going to go to class, algebra class, and the teacher's going to say very piously, because that's what we do. We've done all our lives. All right, now let's open this class in prayer. Pray. Yes, ma'am. Lord, help me to understand Pythagorean theorem. And help me not to want to kill Pythagoras. See, just pray. Pray. You go out to eat in a restaurant? Go out and eat and sit down and eat a meal. Pray. Do this. Say, okay, now, Lord, bless our meal. And sometimes I'll say to the waiter, I'm going to pray before I eat. I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian. Could I pray something for you? Sarah, could I pray for you? What could I pray for? I say this. Sarah, if I ask God for something and God did it, what would you want me to pray for? I've only had one person turn me down. Every time I've asked that, somebody says, you know, my marriage is falling apart. Will you pray for me? Oh, yes, I will. Before I leave here, I'm going to have a little conversation with you about how the Lord can help you with your marriage. You can do it, young people. See, I'm 13 years old. Yes, but these verses were written to you. And these verses are saying to you, you can go win. If you will, in the power of the Spirit, be prepared to fight and be prepared to stand and be prepared to read the Word of God and quench the fiery darts of the wicked with it. And if you'll be prepared to pray, did you know that you can go home and you can win and there's a God in heaven that'll pour out His Spirit in your life and use you and bless you and grow you? You say, Dave, I'm going home to mom and dad and they don't care what I do and they don't care what I watch and they don't care whether I go to church or not. Yes, I know, but you should, and your God cares. Amen. And He'll go home and help you. You know what? Somebody says, well, I don't stand a chance. My mom and dad helped me. Not at all. I just want to tell you something. There is help in your life or you wouldn't be here. God knows the mess back home, and God's on your side and wants to give you His power. God, what do you want from me? God just wants me to barely survive and have the same family I grew up in and be the same dead people that my church is full of. And I just thought, no. God wants you young people to have victory and purity and power in your life. And He wants to use you. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon you. He wants to come down into your life and just in amazing ways do things in your life beyond your wildest imaginations. I got to close. I want to tell you something. I'm 47 years old. And as your age, when I got saved and God began working in my life, and teenagers, I'm just telling you, it's the most amazing thing in the world. My dad's not in the ministry. I went to public high school. When I got saved and God called me to preach, I did not own a suit. I didn't have a tie. God wanted me to preach, and I didn't own a tie. Didn't own a suit. I'd never worn one. We didn't have suits. We wore jeans to church. That's all we had. And I got saved. God called me to preach. It's been a long time ago. I was 15. I'm 47. I'm here to tell you. It's amazing if you'll serve Jesus. It's amazing. I'm not addicted to alcohol or porn or tobacco. I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the time of my life. I got to preach in West Virginia this weekend to some of the greatest young people I've ever met. I got to hang around with Brother Harold Vine, clean-shaven Harold Vine. I got friends. I got a wonderful wife. I'll see her in a few hours. If I leave right now, I can be there in about 8 hours. I got a fast car, maybe 7. I see my wife today. I'm in love. Madly in love. 2 of my 5 are here. Over there's Matt and Jay. Those are good kids. Those are my boys. Super proud of them. I got Abby and Josh going back to Bible college here in a few weeks. Josh had lunch Wednesday night, supper Wednesday night with an atheist. He's been praying for him. Wants him to be saved. Abigail has a young man in her life. He's 22 years old. He's a professor in college. Working on his PhD. Guy's brilliant, just like me. He's going to have a real doctorate. I got a fake one. Guy's brilliant. Loves the Lord. Goes soul winning all the time. He's clean. He's 23, I think, now. He's never seen pornography in his life. Never. 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 I'm so blessed. I'm just ridiculously blessed. I can't sing as well as Brother McNeil. But what he sang, my heart sang. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed. I want to tell you, I don't know what the future holds. Sometimes we go through dark valleys. Some of you will battle cancer someday. You'll have friends that will die and go on into eternity. There will be hours of sorrow and sickness. But you have an amazing God who loves you, will walk with you, will bless you, will grow you, will use you. And young people, be prepared to fight. Be prepared to stand. Go home prepared to read. And be prepared to pray, because God wants you to win. It's not you, it's Him. His power. The power of His Spirit. The power of His Word. The power of prayer. The power of your life. That's what God wants for you. I preached too long. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God wants you to win. God wants you to win. How many of you would say, Brother Dave, God's speaking to my heart, and I know He is. I want to go home and win. Raise your hand good and high. I want to go home and win. Raise your hand good and high if that's true in your life. I want to go home, and I want to win. God bless you, young people. How many of you would say, okay, Brother Dave, if that's true, then I got to go home because I know there's going to be a battle when I get there. There's a battle, and I know it, and I know exactly what it is. Would you pray for me? I've got to go home and fight. I know I do. Raise your hand good and high. How many of you would say, Dave, I got to go home prepared to stand? There's some things I've not taken a stand about, but I need to go home and take a stand. Raise your hand good and high. I need to go home and take some stands. Some I will not, some I will. How many of you would say, Dave, I'm going to go home and try to read my Bible every day. If it's 5 verses, I'm going to do it every day. I'm going to try. How many of you would say, I'm going to go home and pray. I'll pray Sunday morning when pastor says, let's pray. I'll pray. I'll get on my knees. I'll raise my hands. I'll pray. I'll pray every day in my bedroom. I'll pray. You do it, you'll win.